That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.
All right, time for something a little bit different, but equally very exciting. This is Tunisian-born but New York-based artist Emel, who's got an incredible voice, first of all. But a pretty interesting story, too. She got a lot of fame around 2011 when a track of hers went viral unexpectedly. It kind of became a song synonymous with the Arab Spring, became like a symbol of unity, and sort of threw her into, I guess, a more Western musical world where people who weren't familiar with her music suddenly were listening to what she had to say and her beautiful records that she'd been putting out. And she's put out a brand new one today, which I'm very excited to be able to talk about. I caught up with Emel yesterday about the album, which is called The Tunis Diaries, and it was created over lockdown when she sort of unexpectedly got stuck in Tunisia at her 85-year-old father's house with her daughter they'd been visiting for his birthday. And like many musicians over the lockdown period, she was trying to find ways to fill the time and stay creative and kind of stay sane as well over that weirdness. And she started watching this ballet dancer who was performing locally at the same time every night on Instagram Live and seeing how people were really responding positively to that. And she thought, actually, maybe that's something I could be doing. Might be good for me to have a go at playing some music like this. It also might be nice for people who are looking for things to do and feeling a little bit lonely at this time. So she started doing Instagram Lives, like lots of musicians have, and was surprised to find that she was really enjoying it. She didn't have any musical equipment with her, though, because she was there on holiday. She wasn't doing any work. Her husband and her band were back in America, and so she sort of had to, I guess, start from scratch in many ways, and doing these acoustic covers of songs that she'd loved as a teenager. She's back in her teenage bedroom thinking about all of these things. So she started doing, you know, David Bowie, Nirvana, songs like this, going straight onto Instagram Live, basically doing them a cappella, and then also reworking some of her earlier songs. And she decided that that might be quite a cool thing to put into an album, which is what is out today, The Tunis Diaries. So I was very fortunate to catch up with her yesterday. She's in Paris at the moment, so she spoke to us, I think it was about midnight, so it was very kind of her. And we're going to have a listen to that conversation now. It's an incredible thing that we've seen happen across this year of people finding ways to fill the gap of not being able to tour or watch live music or be in the same room, even, as you said, as your band or in the same country, because you were in Tunis with your daughter and your father. The rest of your family was overseas. It must have been a very strange time. Did you find that that connection with an audience helped sort of bridge that weirdness?
Absolutely. I've never really liked going live. I mean, it's still a strange thing to talk about, but it really became a thing. I don't know for how many years, like, people go live all the time and they talk or they sing. And I never felt comfortable with being that public. And then all of a sudden, you know, I just press a button and then I see all these wonderful people expecting me and feeling all these beautiful feelings, listening to me, and we just felt so close to each other. I mean, you know, it's a contrast, because when you perform in front of a live audience and then you finish the track and people applaud, you know that they're somehow enjoying your performance, but it's a different thing when you, as you're performing, you see all the hearts flying on the screen and all the cute messages and people requesting things. It was really, really interesting witnessing that.
And I'm really curious about the covers that we are going to hear on this record. I wanted to ask you what drew you to those particular songs and why you wanted some covers on this album.
I think the most important for me was to keep singing because all of a sudden the world stopped, performances stopped, physical contact stopped, all the projects that I had going on stopped. So I just tried to search for a way to keep being alive musically and just keep singing. It's always been, for me, it's always been singing. And I just try to keep singing without thinking of my career or my strategy or my project. I just wanted to sing, and being in my hometown and in the house where I grew up, where my dreams grew up, I just very naturally reconnected with those, with tracks that really formed who I am and influenced me in so many ways. And just singing that really gave me a lot of pleasure, and I wasn't searching to try to accomplish anything. I was just trying to feel emotions and try to share them as pure as possible.
You've got some covers by David Bowie, Nirvana, Black Sabbath, and The Cranberries. It's got a real sort of a nostalgia thing to it. But I feel like what a really good cover does is takes it into a new realm. You sort of get that thing of being like, oh yes, this is a song I know well and that I love. But when you hear a different artist perform it, especially if it's a song that they hold very close to themselves, it becomes a very different beast as well. What do you think music does for people at a time of crisis?
I think what music does to people is probably the most beautiful thing we have and we can hold on to and believe in. You know, it's like very, it's a very spiritual experience, but like so immediate and so pure. It really connects people. Like growing up, I was listening to all those artists and like there's so many people around the world feeling probably the same emotions, and it just like helps connect us regardless of our cultural differences, regardless of our language barriers, regardless of geography, and you know, music is the, to me, is the most powerful way of like bringing people together.
Your track, Kalmti Hora, I hope I've pronounced that all right, was kind of became the anthem for the Arab Spring, and in many ways that's a big moment of unity, music bringing people together with a common sort of idea or a common moment. Do you see your music as being inherently political, or is that something that kind of comes secondary to the song itself?
It's a little bit of a hard question. Because it's something that I was also conflicted about, but I think I came to realize that, you know, being politically aware and being socially engaged and having being humane, you know, that's what politically aware means to me, is be aware of other people's sufferings, of what's going wrong from the other side of the street or the world, and try to draw attention to it with beauty in poetry. So I was conflicted for some time because I felt that the media always tried to bring that side of me in my music and shadowed all the other stuff and never really got to the depths of my music making, my artistry, my craft. But I think now I'm just proud of it all, and I'm just proud to be an artist that has a powerful musical proposal to the world, but that proposal is also very diverse and very deep in meaning.
If you've just tuned in, we're listening to Kam Te Hora, My Word Is Free, by ML, which is who I'm speaking with yesterday. We're going to listen to the second part of that conversation now. I asked her about the two parts to the record. So she's got a day and a night part on the Turner's Diaries. The day catalogue are reworkings of old songs of hers that she stripped down, made acoustic, and created over quarantine. And then the night section is the selection of covers, which we were talking about earlier. So let's have a listen.
I think that when we release albums, at least some songs have had so many different trips and so many different versions during the process, and then eventually the best form of it comes out on the record. But sometimes with time, we realize that we might have actually missed the essence of the track, and I really enjoy taking some of those songs and going back to the most simple form of them and really enjoying singing them, because I feel like over time we really forget what we're really singing about and what the song experience is about. And so taking them and stripping them down and almost remembering the way they were born really helped me kind of like reach a really interesting musical experience that's at the same time very spontaneous and raw and authentic.
I wondered if we could finish on a bit of a weird question, but I wanted to know what's making you feel hopeful at this time, because it is such a strange time for the world and for musicians, especially for an industry that relies on having people in rooms together. You know, that's something that we can't do at the moment. What makes you feel hopeful?
What makes me feel hopeful? I think, unfortunately, I'm not going to be very original, but I think it's music. I was just thinking about it yesterday. I was like, so I was being worn out, and then I had to listen to something, and then it got me to listen to one of the tracks that is on this album that we're talking about, and that's when I just realized, well, that was something beautiful, and that, you know, that somehow truth and beauty exist, and I should just hold on to that so that I can keep, you know, keep the faith and keep believing in my ideas.
That was ML, Tunisian-born, New York-based artist, chatting to me about her wonderful new album, The Turner's Diaries, which is out today. We're going to listen to her cover of Nirvana's Something in the Way now, which is truly beautiful and very spectacular. You can find a video of her performing this live online as well, which I would highly recommend. It's quite something. There's a whole bunch of awesome covers on this record, but also a bunch of her older tracks, which she's reworked in a really stunning way. So let's have a listen now. This is Something in the Way, Nirvana cover by ML.
Something in the way. underneath the bridge, the tar path sprang a leak, and the animals have trapped, have all become my pets, and I'm living off of grass and the drippings from the ceiling. But it's okay to eat fish, 'cause they don't have any feelings. Something in the way.
That is an absolutely stunning cover of Nirvana's Something in the Way by ML. Huge pleasure to chat with her yesterday. What an incredible artist. You can get the Tuna's Diaries out now. It's got two parts. It's got Day and Night. Day are reworkings of her old tracks, all done acoustically over lockdown. And then Night is beautiful covers ranging from Nirvana to David Bowie, bit of Black Sabbath in there, the Cranberries, anything really that you can kind of imagine. Maybe a 15-year-old ML might have been jamming pretty hard in her bedroom. So thank you so much again to ML for speaking to us. It was a real pleasure. That is out now via Partisan Records.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.